Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, the co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Very good. Well, just a short while ago, before we got ready to broadcast this program, you know, the Federal Reserve Board Chairman Powell, along with the two previous, immediately previous chairmen, had a big discussion in Atlanta at a big meeting. But it's rather annoying when you listen to and look at what they're doing from a Austrian free market perspective, because they're not quite speaking the same language that we do. But I find it a little bit ironic that they talk about the balance sheet, which we have talked about on this program. And as soon as Powell said, "Oh, we'll be careful. We're not going to keep unloading our balance sheet, because that'd be forming tight money," and the markets were unhappy with that. As soon as he said that, the market went and jumped up 600 points. And you know, that's all sound value and sound economic policy. So we're going to follow up by talking about that organization that we have talked about so much, and that is the Federal Reserve. They are the manipulators. They are the providers of credit no matter what. They take care of the military-industrial complex. They make sure that the welfare state continues. They make sure the politicians have their way. But they have no concern whatsoever for the distant future, especially as it's being threatened by a great burden of debt, which is expanding exponentially right now. And I quite frankly believe that the end of that day is coming. It just can't be done. You can't finance the world empire along with all the domestic spending that we have, you know, with this fake money. If you want to take about fake news and different things, they ought to talk about more about this fake money, which we emphasize all the time, because it's really not money. It's a fiat. It's fiat money. It's imaginary money. They create it out of thin air, and they've been doing it for a long time. And people are starting to talk about it a little bit. National debt at $21 trillion and going up rapidly. It'll be 22 soon. And then the obligation, a couple hundred trillion dollars. And then also, the world debt is, $250 trillion, which is significant. And one might say, "Well, Ron, that's not fair. You're counting everything, and you should just count the United States. They have enough problem." But it's interconnected. We are the issuers of the reserve currency of the world. We perpetuate this system. We've been doing it. And right now, I see the market is very, very rocky. Stock market goes up 600 points in 1 hour and can go down 600 the next hour. So that's hardly a stable evaluation of a free market economy. It's a manipulated economy. And the greatest manipulators around on the face of the earth, probably throughout history, has been the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee, and especially the Federal Reserve Board Chairman. So I would say, Chris, that debt is a problem, and sometimes it involves not only outright buying of assets, but also we allow the banks to create their own credit as well. And I think that's what we're facing today, is a debt system totally out of control.
Absolutely, Dr. Paul, and it's true, and I'm going to talk about how the banks themselves, banking can be a legitimate business, but today it's not run legitimately. It's actually run, it's called a fractional reserve system, which should raise your eyebrows. What do you mean fractional reserve? What that means is when you put your money into the bank, they lend it out and just keep a fraction of it in the bank. But you're under the impression, and you live your daily life, that you can go to the bank anytime and take your money out. But they also lent the money out. So how can it be both? How could you get all of your money, but they lent it out at the same time? What kind of hocus pocus are they pulling over there? And that's what it is. They're just betting that everyone is not going to come to the bank at the same time to get their money. So it's all based on a bet. So this is a scheme that they run, and this is unsustainable. But it's been around for a long time. People don't think twice about it. And if you'd like, real quick, I would like to mention, please read Murray Rothbard's "What Has Government Done to Our Money" to really get into the nuts and bolts of how this scheme really works.
That's very good advice. You know, this whole idea of the banks being allowed to do this is something that's been around for a long time. Even before the Fed was established, they got away with this. And yet it's worse than as you describe it, Chris, because that was the first step. The first step is if you or I have $100 and we go put it in the bank, two minutes later, they can loan out $90. So within minutes or seconds, there's $190, and they're all claiming that $100 that we put in, and if it had been real money, they'd have to have it and to back it up, but that would restrain them if they had to have gold behind them because this is all fake. But not only that, as soon as they get the $90 extra, they can loan that out again too, and then and keep only a fraction of it. And even the reserves they're required to have backing their deposits, even in this system, is all fake because they can borrow those reserves anytime they want. But the general rule that I've heard, and I guess it varies depending on conditions, but the $100 that we put in the bank doesn't only become $190. It could become $800 or $900. It goes up 7, 8, or 9 times depending on the enthusiasm of the economy. And that's why, you know, the banking system creates it all. The Fed is the generator. They are the engine, and they get it going. And it wouldn't happen, it wouldn't get out of control if we didn't have the system. System, which is designed for the purpose of pretending that they're going to take care of the economy, but what they're designed for is to take care of Wall Street and big business, so they get a hold of this money early on, and of course the people who suffer are the ones who get hit with higher prices or a weaker economy, and that's the middle class. And even if the middle class they still have decent jobs and all, that doesn't answer the whole question, because there's always a cost of living that is passed on to them and not to the people who receive this credit first. And the worst part of that whole system, it does appear like it's creating a lot of wealth, but everybody knows it gets into trouble, booms and busts, but that's caused by capitalism. And therefore, the Fed has to protect against the ill effects of capitalism. So what do? Chris, as soon as they're in trouble, especially the biggest bailout was in 08 and 09, the great recession. They come in and they didn't bail out the little guys or the people who were losing their mortgages. They bought out all those subsidized banks and the Fannie Mae's and the Freddie Mac's, and it went on and on. So it's a rigged system, and probably the biggest rigged monetary system in the history of the world. And this is why it is a world global issue. So the inflation, if we had not had a dollar reserve standard that abused its privilege of doing this, they couldn't do it if it were a gold standard. We export that, and they have their own system of inflating. Even the Chinese participate in it. You say, well, the Chinese sell us stuff. Yeah, they do, and we send them over some of our inflated dollars, and then they buy back our treasury bills, but they monetize what they just received from us. So it's doubling the money supply immediately when we send money to China. So it's the monetary system. And then to pretend that it's all China's fault. Yeah, they're a problem, and everybody has their problem, but believe me, the trade problems that we have is very much related to monetary policy and the monetary system. If you're on a true, honest gold standard, you don't have balance of payment problems, because you just wouldn't be allowed to print money, or the people would reject your money. And I guess, Chris, you've read about this and studied this for a while, but I have trouble figuring out when and how this is all going to end.
Right. But you made some great points about it being global. It is global, and it is not capitalism, even though capitalism for sure will be blamed, as always. The central banks are socialist institutions. They are monopolies created and sustained by government laws. We're forced to have a Fed by law, but it could be repealed, so they just don't do it. And when this global thing comes down, which it must, it'll be, I think, similar to communism. You know, communism was almost global. It was about 65% of the planet, I believe. And when it came down, that was it. It was like dominoes. And you could go anywhere in the world today, and everybody knows that communism is deadly, hundreds of millions dead.
You know,
yes, here and there are pockets of people, but it's a dead idea. And someday central banking, that'll be its fate as well.
You know, we hear a lot of political talk, both Republicans and Democrats, and even in recent years with the Republicans totally in charge, you heard Democrats preaching the gospel of fiscal conservatism. Oh, they're not watching the debt. Other than this political nonsense, when they say express concern about the debt, they really aren't concerned about the debt. There is nobody interested, nor will they take it on and say, what we really need to do is cut spending. No, there's no way that that's going to happen. That's why I wish they'd learn a lesson from this government close down. Right now, there's nobody out on the street starving because of this close down. This should send out a message. Most people really don't care, or they hurt. They all know, well, you know, debt isn't bad, and we'll pay it off, and nobody's going to be hurt because it's like a paid vacation for some of the people that are not working at this particular time. But the debt system is what we compared to opium, you know, because everybody in Washington, not everybody, most people, and especially those in the Treasury Department and as well as the Federal Reserve, have been taught Keynesian economics. And they are told that deficits don't matter, and therefore we can run them up. So everybody feels better with it, so there's no serious intent on cutting back. The only thing that they have going for them, and is a little bit confusing, is that all debt is not equal, because it's legitimate if you have an asset has value and you borrow against it. So let's say if you're going to buy a $100,000 house and it's worth a $100,000 house and you're a good customer and the bank wants to loan you $100,000 and you have the collateral, that's a legitimate loan. You just don't have the cash and you're going to borrow it from somebody else. But that's an entirely different situation than what we have now, because this debt is created out of thin air. The government comes and they monetize the government debt, and now they can buy all assets like they did, you know, in the downturn. And it's something that is very bad. And most people think about this to that point. But the point that you made early on, Chris, is the whole fact that it doesn't end there. It keeps going, and that's when the banks themselves get to expand this fiat money that the Federal Reserve created.
Right. Dr. Paul, I'm going to finish by saying that banking must return to a legitimate business, and it could be a totally legitimate business. It's a place to store your money. You don't want to store it under your mattress. A bank is a storage facility, and they charge you for that service of storing your money. But they don't touch your money unless you give them permission and they lend it out, and they pay you for lending it out. And at the same time, you do not touch your money while it's being lent out. This is logical stuff. Banking should be logical. They went down a wrong path hundreds of years ago. They came up with this scheme that's going to hurt a lot of people in the end, but banking could be legitimate, and we can go back to having it be that way.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. You know, the one thing that the Federal Reserve and our politicians are concerned about now is they know what we know, that there will be another recession, that the hints are there. It's probably already begun. And their conventional wisdom is that it's the job of the Fed to salvage the economy from this capitalistic recession rather than a recession depression created by the Federal Reserve. But they have to come to the rescue. And for 50, 60 years, the rescue had always been create more debt, print more money. And because we have been very wealthy, very powerful politically, economically, and militarily, that we could do that, and we were able to get away with it. But they are between a rock and a hard place right now, because they know that they're out of tools, because they have no other tools. Their tools are cut spending and act decently and responsibly, or print more money and lower interest rates. Well, they're not going to cut spending. We know that. But they're having trouble saying, well, how can we lower interest rates? We had them down to zero. Real interest rates are, you know, so low. And so we need a tool. So we have to raise the interest rates a little bit from zero to two or 2.5. Then we have a tool. But those are hardly tools compared to what kind of tools they had, how much they could lower the interest rates in the 1970s when interest rates were between 15 and 20%. Yes, they could. They had a tool to turn it off. But right now, they don't have a tool, and that's why they're arguing and fighting. Those who think, well, it better be a little bit more cautious, we ought to cut back, sell some of these assets, and admit that we have to prepare for the future. And I think Powell was in that camp. He didn't create this system, but because he suggested that he does this, that means he's taking the opium away from the politician, and they don't like that. And I think this message that we heard from Powell today is that he's backed off from that. It's politically impossible to do it, which means that, yes, we're going to live with the debt, but the market won't. Politicians can. They've stretched it. They do everything conceivable. They make certain people in the economy suffer the consequences and pay the price. But ultimately, the debt will inundate us. And I think we're getting dangerously close to that point where the inundation of debt will collapse our economy. So, you know, the problem is there. I don't consider it very complicated. And the answers aren't complicated, but they challenge conventional wisdom of those who have been taught they want a free lunch. And when you think about those several people in Congress now, newly elected, that said, well, it is a mess. What we need is socialism and higher taxes. Well, there's a lot of people who still support that. But when this thing comes down, it's up to us to really present the case for sound money and free markets and private property. That's the only answer. Right now, though, we are at a very dangerous point, and something will be decided pretty soon. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.